Good morning all. If any one of you need a Bible, please raise your hand. My name is Mahendra. I'm going to read two passages, one from Old Testament and another one from the New Testament. So today's Old Testament reading is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses from 7 to 11. It's on the page 146 in the Church Bibles. Passage 1 from Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verses from 7 to 11. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors, that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to a thousand generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. But those who hate him, he will repay to their face by destruction. He will not be slow to repay to their face those who hate him. Therefore, take care to follow the commands, decrees, and laws I give you today. And the second reading is from Colossians chapter 3, verses from 5 to 17. It's on page number 955 in the Church Bible. Colossians chapter 3 from verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as this: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as a member of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. It's lovely to be back up here. Let me just pray. Father, help your message to come through my mouth. And Father, help everyone here to be changed and to see a different perspective. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are continuing from last week. We're in chapter 3. So David did 1 to 4. And I'm going to be continuing from there 5 to 17. But because I've gone through three chapters, I think it's good to have a little bit of a reminder of what's happening in Colossae. So if we remember, Epaphras brought the gospel to Colossae, and did they receive it with joy? Yes, they did. The scriptures say that they had a lot of faith, much faith and much love. They actually accepted the truth. But what's happened? Why is Paul writing the letter? Because something's gone wrong. The outside culture, the outside belief system has started to infiltrate the church. Remember, these guys are new Christians. They haven't been Christians for a very long time. But the outside noise is starting to come in. They call this the Colossian heresy. They don't know exactly what the Colossian heresy was, but through the scripture, there's indications. And there are massive problems going on in the church. You see, we've read that they're telling them to follow all these rules and regulations, which is a type of Judaism going on in the church. There's also an early Gnosticism. Now, don't worry about that long word. It's a secret wisdom that's coming in. They're saying you can know the secrets of the universe. You can know when you die. You can know the future. And of course, that's against the gospel. We call this syncretism, when other things come into the church, and it gets in the way of the gospel. And this causes big problems in a church. Do you think we're immune from that? Do we live in that sort of culture now, where there's a lot of outside noise? They also had Greek and Roman philosophy and gods. They were all infiltrating these Christians, and as we heard in the Bible reading, there were many problems and many fights. So for us, we have to think about that as well, not only the Colossians, the rise of secularism and atheism. We live in a society where they don't say to themselves, what does God say? Let's make some rules. No, they don't do that at all. We live in a society where it's materialism. Do you know what that is? I want a bigger phone. I want a bigger car. I want more. I want more. I want more. It's about me and it's about me. We live in an individual society, individualism they call it, where again, it's all about me. It's all about gaining. And what has, you've probably seen in the last 20, 30 years, infiltrated the church? We live in a pleasure culture, don't we? Everything's about being happy. So the health, wealth, prosperity gospel is also coming in. So it's not only for the Colossians with their Colossian heresy, we also have to be very careful what's coming into the church and coming into our minds. And that's when we're starting to talk about put to death. So what did David remind us last week? That we are to set our mind on things above, not on earthly things. That's how we do it. We have to continue to remember that we're in Christ. He is the truth, not all these outside noises. Sometimes we need to do this. We're in Christ. We died with Christ. We were raised with Christ. We're going to be in glory with Christ. As Gavin mentioned, we need to live as if we're in heaven. So that is the context. And David was talking about our identity. Our identity is found in Christ. And if we remember that, then the outside noises will be a lot less. So we're going to be talking about get rid of. We need to get rid of something. So if we go to our verses, let's start. Look what it says here. Put to death. What does that mean? Put to death. Put to death. Does something dead come alive again? Unless it's Jesus. It doesn't, does it? Therefore, what belongs to the earthly nature? That's the world. That's not us. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Because of our sin, the wages of sin is death, the wrath of God is coming, and there will be a judgment day one day. You used to walk in these ways. It's a past tense. In the life you once lived. See what Paul's saying to them? You once received the truth. What are you doing now? That's how you were before. But you're not like that now. That's not who you are. But now you must also rid yourself of such things. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. Imagine what's going on in this church. What a list. That's chaos. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices. We've got this taken off, put on language. Now, when we look at the original Greek, this take off language is a word renounce, give up forever, or strip off, completely get rid of, or rid oneself of. Rid oneself of. It's not like a t-shirt you can put on and off, take it off, put it on. No. Get rid of it forever, completely strip. So we're going to have a look. Well, I just want to have a look at that. That's what we're taking off. That's our shirt of sin. That's the shirt of old life. That's the shirt of the past. That's the shirt of the people out there. That's the shirt of the Colossians before they knew Jesus. And they are to take off all of that. Why? Because that's not who they are. That's not who we are. We're in Christ. We are not in the world. So let's have a look at some of these sins. Okay. I put them in some categories to, it will take too long if I went through every single one of them. Let's talk about sexual immorality and lust. We'll start with there. Now, what was sex created for? For marriage, right in the beginning, for a man and a woman to come together in marriage, and the sex is part of that for joy in a marriage. And it's a beautiful thing. It always was a beautiful thing. It's still a beautiful thing. But the world has taken that and taken it to another level and taken it to different areas where people make money. There are games now about sex. They use it as a sport, as a hobby. It's on the TV. It's on the internet. It's the music we listen to. It is everywhere. And the world does not treat it as it should be. It's the desires of the flesh, and that's what we need to put to death. What about lust? What does Jesus say about lust? Who can quote it? You can smile, but you can quote too. Correct. If you have lust in your heart, don't even have to do anything. Even if you have it in your heart, you're committing adultery. That's what Jesus is saying. That's how bad it is. Put off the old self. That's not who we are. If you're struggling with things like pornography and other things, put that to death. Take it off. It's not who you are. Greed. This is one I just spoke about earlier, living in an individualistic, materialistic world. I'm guilty, for sure. We all are. We want more. We want bigger. We want better. And my mum said to me, with all this technology, are you happier? No. I don't think we are. We think we're going to get happier, but it's not true. Don't we work harder now than we ever did before? What did they say? With all the technology, eventually we're going to work 6 to 7 hours a day or 4 to 5 hours. That's not true. We want a bigger house, car, we want excess this, we want our Foxtel, we want our Netflix and Stan, and we want Spotify, we want KO. We just want more and more. We want more t-shirts, more shoes. It's about me, 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 me. Greed. And that becomes an idol. That replaces God. That's not who we are. Put that off. The next category, anger, rage, malice, slander, lying, filthy language. I put them together because I just say that's just very ungodly. It's unloving. It's selfish. It's actually delusional. Because you're thinking, when you're calling people these things or you're having that emotion towards these people, especially malice, that's horrible, and slander, saying something bad about someone else, it means you're thinking you're better than them. That they're their sinners and you're not. That they're doing much worse than you. That God's happier with you and not them. And that's the opposite of the gospel. complete opposite of what Jesus says. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And that's not who we are. We need to put off this old self. Whatever category you're looking in there, and that resonates with you a little bit more than the other ones, you need to put that off, because that's not who you are. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Take it off, because that's not who you are. You are a new creation. You are born again. You are created and saved to be holy. Holy means set apart, different to the world. That's who we are. Why would you want to live different to what you are? Let's keep going. Verse 10, now it gets positive. Now we go from take off to put on. And have put on the new self. Yes. Which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Isn't that beautiful? I love that verse. I think that's my favorite. Actually, David pointed me to that verse. He said, don't forget about that verse. Like, I'm not going to forget about that verse. That's an awesome verse. Put on your new self, okay, who we're meant to be, saved, renewed, restored, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator, in the knowledge, in the image of Jesus. Every day, we're being renewed in our knowledge and who we are to be like Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Doesn't that encourage you? That we are new, we're saved, and then we don't just think, okay, heaven one day, I'm saved, but we're actually being renewed on a daily basis. And that's beautiful. And here in verse 11, there is no Gentile or Jew or circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ in all and all and is in all, which means it's for everybody. This is for everybody. Therefore, as God's chosen people, I love that. It resonates with me because a lot of my family and friends aren't Christians and aren't chosen. So when I read, I'm chosen, you're chosen, it's such a beautiful thing, because you know you don't deserve to be chosen, but you're chosen anyway, made holy, set apart, and dearly loved. Dearly loved. That's just, we don't deserve love, but we're dearly loved by God more than you could ever imagine. Now we've got the language of clothing again. Taking off and taking on. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We're talking about the fruits of the Spirit here. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And this is what ties it together, which we know anyway. And over all these virtues, put on love. It always comes down to love, doesn't it? Which binds them all together in perfect unity. And if the Colossian church are hearing this with all their struggles and disunity, and they're listening to say, look, you guys just need to love one another. You need to put on the love of Christ. And we need to hear that as well. We need to put on this love. We need to take off. Where is it? This. So I'm just going to put my clicker down for a second, and I'm going to strip. Sorry. Stripping now. Okay. So it's time for me to take off this one. What do you think? Because I better. This is not me. Okay, this is not me and not you either. This is not us. Why we live our lives like this, I'll get to in a second. But it's not us. So we need to, I forgot what I was wearing underneath. We need to take it off. All right? If I had a bin with fire, I'd burn it. Can I have this new one, please? We need to put on this one. $25 at the bookstore. And we need to put on this one. Where is it? Here we go. We need to put on love. So let's go through these. putting on love. If you have love in your heart, are you going to be compassionate, empathetic? Are you going to be ready to be there for someone else because you love them? Are you going to be kind and generous? Just yesterday, Ashley was busy with work, and I was doing a couple of things, preparing the sermon and other things. And two people from this church who are here right now said, I'll look after your son. That's what you called kindness. That's what you called generous. What about humble? If you have love in your heart, what do you consider other people better than yourself? Because you love them, you put them first. You're going to put their needs first. You're going to put down everything that you think is good about yourself. You're not going to brag. You're going to humble yourself, and you're going to exalt them because you love them. Everything comes back to love. What about gentleness? I was watching on Instagram, a guy was interviewing a girl. What would you like in a man or a husband? And interviewing, some said, oh, I like him to be tall. He has to be more than 6 foot. Another one said, oh, he has to be funny. Another one said, oh, he has to be kind. Now, that was a good one. What was the other one? He has to make a lot of money. I didn't hear anyone say, I want him to be gentle. Have you ever thought about that? Women, is that one characteristic of your husband or brother that you would want them to be gentle? Because that's what Jesus is. Jesus is gentle. When you have a problem, you would want to go to a gentle person. They're not going to judge you. They're going to be very gentle with the way they talk because they love you. And patient. If you love someone, you will be patient with them. In the culture we live in, patience is one of the hardest things. And I've had to learn it quick smart with my son. And because I love him to death, I have to be patient, and I want to be patient. So these are the things we need to put on, don't we? We need to put on these attributes because that's who we are in Christ. We need to take off that one. Take it off. Throw it away because that's not who you are. But let me be honest, because when I'm preparing a talk, I always reflect on me and I think, I want to be honest with you guys. And the truth is, I put on that all the time. I do, and so do you. We know who we are. None of us want to be selfish. We don't want to be angry. We don't want our old life to creep in, but it does. And what does that do? Do you know what it does? It ruins our peace. It ruins the peace of Christ. That's what it ruins. It's destructive. It was very destructive to the Colossian church, and it will be destructive for everyone in here if we keep putting on and putting off. Because Jesus says, put it to death. So what does Paul always say at the beginning of his letters? Grace and peace to you. He's always asking and saying to them, you need peace. So what is peace? It's a state of tranquility, a quietness of the spirit. It transcends circumstances. It's something that comes from the spirit. And that's what we need if we are going to keep this t-shirt on and continue to live by our new nature. But how? How's that going to happen? Luckily, we have the next verses to help us. And it's all about us. That's going to be the answer. How to receive this peace, how to take off and get rid of it, and to continue to keep the fruits of the Spirit and to be who we are, we need each other. That's what Paul was saying to the Colossians. Guys, get back to the truth of what you heard in the beginning. You need to stick to that. You need to come together in thanksgiving and continue to remember the cross and continue to remember what Jesus did. If you do that, those outside noises will not infiltrate the church. You will be strong and you'll come together. What does 1 Corinthians say about coming together as a church? We are one church, right? One body, many parts. Lee's all spiritual gift compared to Ashley, compared to Riley and whoever else I mentioned are different. And we need different gifts to help each other because we're all in this world and we're all struggling to keep the t-shirt on. We've got the t-shirt, that's our status. We're going to go to heaven, sure. But to live the life, we need each other. I can't say that more strongly. The person beside you, the person in front and the person behind, you need them. Let's have a look at verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, we're all members of Christ, you were called to peace. The Colossian church didn't have any peace. We are called to peace and to be thankful. Continue to come together and be thankful. When the service leaders come up here, they're always giving thanks to God, and that's right. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish. Teach and admonish. Teach and admonish can mean rebuke, correct, train. It can mean get a person back on the right track. So what does it say? We're working together. We're helping each other out. With wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. This is going to church. This is coming together. Singing to God with, second time, gratitude in our hearts. Continuing to thank God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Three times, giving thanks. Continuing to meet together. Continuing to understand everyone has spiritual gifts from God, and we continue to meet and help each other and talk to each other and continue to make sure we're getting rid of all the nature that's not really part of who we are. Help and pray. I've got a little diagram. This is why we pray for each other. You like that? It's helping each other out. That's why we pray for each other. We continue to pray. We continue to help each other out. We live in an individualistic society. We think, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm Willy Wonka with the magic ticket. I know what salvation is. That's not how Scripture puts it. It's always working together. Working out your salvation with fear and trembling, we do together. Resist our old selves. Come together as a church. At the end, we're going to have people praying for you. We have Bible studies. We have times when you can call anyone in the church. You can call David. You can call me. You can call anyone, and they will be there for you, and they will help you out because we're all in the same boat. We're all struggling. We all want to put on our new selves, but we all need help. So let me just pray for us. Father, we thank you we can come together. We know who we are. We are new. We are redeemed. We are chosen. We are children of you. Father, but we live in this world which infiltrates us, which gets in our minds, which sways us from the truth. We don't want it to happen, but it happens naturally. And we forget about the truth accidentally. We love you, but we put other things in front of you. Father, help us to come together as a church with our different spiritual gifts through the Spirit, and help us to talk to one another, help us to provide counseling if need be, help us to see the greed in our lives, see the gossiping, help us to see that we're being angry. Because, Father, we can't see it on our own. We don't see it or else we'd stop it. We don't see that we're being selfish. Father, help us to come together so we can see it. Father, Satan loved to take Eve on her own to tempt her. Loved to take your son on his own to tempt him. He wants to isolate us, Father. He wants to bring us alone. But, Father, help us to resist that and to come together as a church. and to share in each other's struggles, share in each other's problems, Father. So if the old clothing tries to get back, Father, help us to be there for one another to say, no, remove that. That's not who you are. And we pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.